The gurus of how to are here, Alvin and Lawrence Ubell, also known as Acrid Building Inspectors of Brooklyn, New York. Have I left anything else?
No, I think...
We should point out you're a father and son.
Website is www.accuratebuilding.com.
And they can follow me on Twitter at Larry Ubell at Twitter. Nothing as exciting as recent current events, but I get some stuff out there. Okay.
You're not tweeting pictures of yourself.
No.
You know, I wouldn't know how to do it. I couldn't get myself in trouble. I am so technologically incompetent, I can't get myself in trouble.
But I do tweet some really unusual construction conditions. So that's
Okay. Well, let's move along to home repair and related matters.
On the subject you really touched on, who cares?
Mm-hmm. Well, I agree.
Yeah.
Right now, we're transitioning quickly into hot weather.
Yes.
You call that a transition?
It's expected. Go ahead.
So one of the questions that you say that you've gotten emails is, why is smoke belching out of my apartment house chimney on days like today?
They want hot water.
Well, still, they have to produce domestic hot water, and most of that equipment is produced by the large boiler, usually a number six oil. Number six oil is very thick. It's what the mayor has been speaking about, is trying to get rid of number six to try to clean the air up a bit. And these types of units really work their best when they're on for long periods of time. Well, when making domestic hot water, you don't need to have the boiler on for that much. Actually, the peak hours for domestic hot water is between 5:30 and 8:30 in the morning. After that, the amount of domestic hot water consumed in a residential building is minimal. So it works well for a while, but then it constantly has to keep the temperature of the boiler up, and that's when it's most inefficient, and that's why they're trying to get them to change over to either gas or to get them to change over to number two oil.
A lighter weight oil. That smoke is supposed to be controlled by the superintendent. In fact, there are devices on the boiler itself that shut the boiler down if too much smoke comes out, and you're only allowed to have so much smoke for a certain period of time. And the Department of Air Pollution and Smoke Control is supposed to be involved in that and monitoring the entire city.
But I have to say that sometimes some supers who have problems disable that detection device. So if you see smoke coming out of a chimney for more than 15 to 30 seconds, you might want to call the
Department of Buildings. We'll take care of it right away. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, we at this time of year, we always talk about air conditioners, and gosh, we will be talking about air conditioners. But I'm curious about some of the things that we associate with winter. Do we just leave them? For example, people who have working fireplaces, just ignore them until winter comes again?
Well, the strange thing about it that if you have air conditioning, if you're air conditioning the house, the idea is to make sure that you have a damper on that fireplace and close off the damper. If you don't have an air conditioning in the house, then leave the damper open. That will get some ventilation. Actually, there's a natural vector that takes place up the flue, which will draw air out of the building, and you'll be replaced, which is very good.
So you'll get breezes through the window, and then it'll go
up the chimney. But here's an interesting phenomenon. If you have air conditioning going on in the space that the fireplace is in, the fireplace doesn't work as well because it's cold air, and cold air doesn't move, so it'll just stay on the ground. So,
I can't imagine lighting a fireplace when you're running an air conditioner.
It depends upon how sensuous you are.
Unless you're shooting a movie.
Yes. But it's an interesting phenomenon nonetheless.
Well, we are already getting questions about what you do to thoroughly clean an air conditioner, and we'll get to that in just a moment. But I want to remind people that when the Ubells come here, we do this radio word game. And last month, nobody got the answer.
No.
Yes, that's unusual, but it does happen occasionally.
Because we do have an amazingly bright audience.
Yes,
so.
And usually they get the answer within the first five calls.
Yes, even the first call sometimes.
Well, sometimes I hold off on the first call.
You telling the audience that you're cheating?
Oh, it's not cheating. We just simply want to hear some of the ideas that people have. And then, because if you put the winner on the first, then we don't know about all these other possibilities.
Yes.
I concur.
But last month, nobody even came close. Maybe if I read it, it'll help.
Maybe. Yes, you're more
I'll do it with as a radio announcer type.
Go ahead.
Name the heavy decorative wooden support blocks located on top of supporting posts of structures that are architecturally influenced by the America's colonial Spanish. Okay.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And the part that we have in italics, it's almost like a makeshift capital.
So it's not a real capital, but it's...
It is a capital, but...
But it looks improvised.
It's an That's right.
Okay. And before we get to the calls, maybe we should ask this question from Thomas in Manhattan. What's needed for a thorough air conditioner cleaning?
First of all, it depends upon what kind of air conditioning we're talking about. If it's just a window air conditioner, the optimum way is that air conditioner should have been taken out, say, months ago, and maybe in a...
Now you're making me feel guilty.
Well, I don't...
I didn't do it months ago. What should I do right now?
Take it out in the backyard or in a bathtub and really just wash it down the best you can with just clean water. You
don't just hose the whole thing down?
Hose it down. Because those units are made to be subject to the elements anyway. You know, it's outdoors and water is dripping on it all the time from condensation and raining and everything else. So putting it in the bathtub, don't fill up the bathtub with water. Just wash it out with a hose or something like that and get all of the schmutz out of the inside of this thing and out of the coils, and then let it air dry for a little while and put it back in the window, and then make sure that all of the cracks and the openings around the windows are corked in or packed in with some kind of insulation material.
So is schmutz the technical term for the gunk that forms inside an air conditioner?
Well, yeah. It has become a technical term.
It's an industry term. The other thing is that you also want to make sure – now, he's talking about the back end of the air conditioner, the part that's outside. The inside, you want to make sure the filter is clean.
Wash it off with just
– soap, water, detergent, shampoo, whatever you have lying around. It doesn't matter as long as it's soap. Don't use the conditioner. That'll just gum everything up. It'll make it easy to comb, but that's about all. The other thing, speaking of combing, you want to make sure that any of the fins on the inside that you could see are straight, and you can do that with either a toothpick or an ice cream pop stick or something like that, and just look around, make sure everything's clean. And the biggest important thing to make sure it works right is make sure that air conditioner is tilted a little bit outside so it drains properly. As far as central air conditioning units, those units that are on the outside, they just need a good spraying with a hose and just make sure all the dirt's out of it, and that will work fine.
Our number here is 646-829-3985. That's...
You got it.
Well, there are two phone numbers in front of me, and suddenly you know the Ron Burgundy problem where you read whatever is put in front of you?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah. Well,
actually, he never saw that movie, trust me.
646-829-3985 is the number. You can also leave a comment on our show page at WNYC.org. And this is WNYC, WNYC.org. I'm Leonard Lopate with the Gurus of How To, Al and Larry Ubell. And our first caller is Daniel from Manhattan. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, Daniel.
Hi.
Hello. I get a distinct smell of sewer gas in a room that is adjacent to the bathroom. Now, this building has very thick walls. I suspect a crack in the drain, maybe?
You're assuming exactly correct. Let me ask you a question. Are you getting little tiny flies also?
No.
Okay, so at least you're not having that problem. Because generally when there's a crack waistline, you use these things called sewer flies or drain flies, and they're tiny little gnat-looking things. Chances are, if that's the case, if there's no drain or sink or fixture in that room and it smells like sewer gas, there's probably a cracked waistline somewhere below at your level or somewhere below your level that's being vented into your level, and that needs to be addressed.
Yeah, that has to be. If you live in a rental apartment, you got to inform your superintendent right away. And also, if it is not addressed, you got to call the building department, because sewer gas is not only noxious, which you are experiencing, but it also could be toxic. And in occasion, it's even explosive. It's methane gas that is coming out of that pipe, and a spark could ignite it accidentally. So it would be good to call the building department if the superintendent or the landlord does not respond.
But what else were you going to say?
How is there an alternative to tearing everything down and looking for the leak? Because it's going to be a big
Well, there is if they want to actually spend the money to videoscope the pipes. They can do that if there's a way to get in, if they either do it from the roof or they could do it from a existing fixture or a clean out. But I heavily doubt it, especially if this
is cheaper to knock the thing
down. Right, especially if this is an older building. Access is going to be quite limited. Okay? Yeah,
thank you so much for calling us.
Those, sometimes the crack could be so fractal, you know, it's so tiny that the camera may not even see it because on the inside it's all coated with like a gelatin that has come down from the sewage or condensation. And so you really have to start breaking out a wall until you find where the crack is.
Raymond on Long Island writes, I have seen a lot of ads for window film and window tinting meant to cut glare, protect furniture, and save energy. Does it really work? And if so, how long does it last? Does it mean the room will be cooler throughout the summer?
Yes, it does work because you're reducing the – you're cutting down on the UVs. You're cutting down on the total amount of light. It will, depending on the side of the glass that the film is on, is where the heat will be generated. So if the film is on the outside, you'll be keeping most of that heat out. If the film is on the inside of the glass, it may be causing heat between that film and the glass itself. But it will work. It will reduce the amount of heat load on that space. How long is it good for? I'm sure it has a certain life expectancy and deterioration of the film itself.
Depending on the manufacturer and what process they use.
Exactly. But the one point that I want to make, which leads from this, is that to get your air conditioning to work better, closing the shades, closing the curtains, and also turning off as much lights or incandescent lights, which produce an incredible amount of heat, will also improve that function. But those films do work. Actually, now the new windows that are manufactured have e-films on them.
Soon we won't have fluorescent lights to kick around anymore.
I know.
Yeah, the federal government has just given a bonus to companies that are experimenting with LEDs. There are bio-LEDs and there are non-bio-LEDs. And the bio-LEDs show that they can give you a lot more light for less energy and also have a 100-time life expectancy over an incandescent bulb.
Because people resist bioing them because they cost so much.
They are expensive, but if something lasts 10 times as long as a regular bulb, then that's where the cost effectiveness falls into place.
I have to speak that anecdotally speaking, my flashlight is an LED flashlight, and I change light bulbs maybe once every 3 months now. Which, for a person who uses a flashlight as often I do, that's an amazing amount of time out of a flashlight battery. So,
flashlight batteries are subject to impact and all kinds of things, whereas a bulb in a house is static.
No, I'm talking about the batteries lasting longer because
because
of the low consumption of the LED.
Oh,
okay.
Ben from Orangeburg, New York. Hi, you're on the air.
Thank you. I have a 3,000 square foot raised ranch.
Mm-hmm.
I'm in the suburbs.
Mm-hmm.
I have noticed that my ceiling, I have a whole house ceiling fan that vents air from the house up to the attic.
Mm-hmm.
Then there's a fan that vents out from the attic to the outside,
right,
which has quit. Is it worth it to replace it? A couple of $100.
Well, actually having two fans, I think, is an exercise in futility.
I have two fans. That's about all I have.
Well, my Twitter page is up to 49. But actually, I'm going to disagree with you because you have that mushroom fan that's on the roof, right?
Correct.
Okay, and then you have a whole house fan that's at the top of your hallway or wherever.
Exactly.
Right. the thing is, I have that same setup. When I'm not using the whole house fan, that mushroom fan still ventilates and cools the attic. So,
well, that's what I'm saying, coming to. That is true. But if you have the ceiling fans that they have that goes in, that actually pressurizes the attic, mm-hmm. is really not a good thing, because what happens is it takes all of the moisture and the dirt and dust and pushes it down back into the building.
Well,
sometimes.
That's why. But his other fan,
if the velocity and the volume of the ceiling fan is greater than the velocity of the outside fan.
But I, again, not knowing his house, I'm assuming that he has that, but he also has probably eave vents and maybe even a ridge vent also. So to pressurize his attic is going to be very difficult.
Yes, but...
So the question is, should you fix it? I think you should, because when you're not using the whole house fan, at least you can get your attic ventilated.
We have some people who've called in with answers mm-hmm. to the quiz, which is named the heavy decorative wooden support blocks located on the top of supporting posts of structures that are architecturally influenced by the America's colonial Spanish, and it's almost like a makeshift capital.
Yeah.
And let's take some of those calls.
Yeah, you said that, you know, when you almost was selling it.
Yeah. This time I was just trying to get through it. Ruth from Manhattan. Oh, no, this is not Ruth. Our first answer is from David from the Upper West Side. What do you think it is, David?
Hey there. Well, you know, I've got a guess for this, but then I also just was thinking that I wanted to ask you guys about a particular problem in the apartment. Can
I'm going to put you on hold so you can come back with that.
Well, I'll do the guess if you want.
Yeah, okay. Do the guess now, and then later we'll get back to you.
Go ahead. It's how about a plinth block?
No.
A clue is that it's that it's America's colonial Spanish.
Yeah.
Plinth doesn't sound Spanish to me.
No.
How about what Debbie is proposing? Debbie, what do you think it is?
I thought it might be corbel.
No, that's an extent. This is also an extension to the type, but that's when you have an extension of a piece of wood or masonry on the outside projecting or cantilevering out from the face of the building. This is not that intent for this kind of architectural implement.
Okay.
Thank you. Now, the problem here is that we may go 2 weeks without anybody coming up with an answer.
Oh, don't punish us.
Let's go to Ruth. I put her on a little earlier.
Yes, Ruth.
Ruth from Manhattan. Hi, you're on the air.
Oh, hi. I was calling to ask if a noisy discharge with a foul odor coming from a pipe underneath my third floor bathroom window, it discharges what looks like sandstones, black stones, and a lot of sandy matter around 10:15 and 11:35. And what I'm calling to ask if that could be from the boiler.
Okay, it's underneath your window.
On the top of the garage roof. I'm on the third floor.
You're on the third floor, and then there's a garage roof.
Yes.
Below you, and then there's a vent of some sort that comes out. And
a pipe underneath my bathroom window. I believe it comes from there.
Is it coming through the roof or coming through the wall?
Well, because the pipe must come out of the wall.
So it comes out of the wall, and there's,
A vent under a window. That's unusual.
It's unusual, and you're saying that particulate matter is coming out of it.
Yes.
Not sure what that one is. But it would be something that I would definitely inform either your landlord or – is this a rental property?
Yes, it is, and they know about it, I'm sure, because they arranged it.
They arranged it?
They put it in.
Well, how long ago did they put that in?
What? In the winter, I was aware that there was a pipe under there, but it's only been this week mm-hmm. that I've – seen that noisy, that discharge of what looks like, I don't know if they're stones, but it looks that way, round, sandy color.
Well, they may have put it in, but they probably don't know that this is happening, so you should get in touch with them.
My advice to you is either call them up and let them know what's going on, and if that doesn't have satisfaction, then definitely call HPD at New York City, 311, call them and inform them that there's an issue going on, because this is not sounding proper. There should never be a vent of any type below a window. So that needs to be addressed. I'm curious what it is. I would love to see a picture of it. But
Well, she could send you a photograph,
if,
can't
if she?
She
has the facility to do that. And she can send it to my email at larry@ubell.com.
Yes, because that the law has been for almost going back to 1916 that you can't have a ventilation
a vent, a chimney, or any other kind of intake or exhaust under a window for that reason.
Wow.
Yes, that's a dangerous thing because if somebody opens up that window and there is a negative pressure in the building for whatever causing, the fumes could be noxious and toxic and could be sucked into the apartment.
Mm-hmm. We're going to take a little break and come back with the gurus of how to, Al and Larry Ubell. Our number again is 646-829-3985. You can leave a comment on our show page at wnyc.org.
You've been gone such a long, long time. How are you going to fix this broken heart of mine? Mr. Fix-It, how are you going to fix this? How are you going to fix this? Oh, yeah.
And we're back with the gurus of how to, Al and Larry Ubell, and we're taking your calls at 646-829-3985. And we spoke to David a little earlier, David from the Upper West Side. He got the answer wrong for the quiz, but
thanks,
I promise I get back to you. Well, you know,
see, we're an honorable
put you in your
group.
Place.
Go ahead.
So, guys, have you ever heard anything about anyone having a problem with mosquitoes in their apartment?
Yeah. Well, go on.
Well, what do you mean by that? Are they coming in through the window most mosquitoes?
I don't think so. I've got screens, you know, or the small screens that you can put in and open your window about 6 or 12 inches. I hesitate to say the word infestation because, it makes it sound like, I'm in, in the jungle or something, but enough that it's, sort of a problem with getting a lot of mosquito bites in the evening. Lying on the couch watching TV.
Well, that happens occasionally with households that have a lot of plants and standing water in the dish below the plants. What happens is that if you have a lot of standing water someplace in the apartment in order to irrigate the plants that you have, this could be a breeding space for the larvae of the mosquito to lay their eggs. The mosquitoes will lay the eggs, it comes to the larvae, and then the mosquitoes hatch out of that, and you could have an infestation. It's not unusual to have it inside of a house.
But now let me ask him the question.
Go ahead.
You have any plants?
Well, the only plants I have are plastic.
Okay.
All right.
So what I'm thinking is that what your issue is that there's probably either a gap to the outside where they're getting in, and that could be very small. The second thing is that they could have a situation where you have some standing water somewhere in one of the cavities of the building that you're not access to, and that's where they're coming in from.
That sounds really plausible, in the build, water in the cavity of the building. As a matter of fact, this building has had some problems with some leaks due to, I think the building needs to have some pointing done to it.
How old a building is this?
Oh, it's a pre-war.
It's a pre-war.
So I have a third proposal.
Yes.
Stop watching so much television.
No, but I would look into one of the things I'd pay attention to is if you see where they're coming in from. If there's a part, maybe leave some traps around and see which traps get nailed the most. And that might be a good way to try to isolate where they're coming from.
One of the things that really works fairly well with mosquitoes is the old use of fly paper.
Mm-hmm.
There is an attractant put into the fly paper emulsion that has a certain scent to it that attracts not only the flies but also mosquitoes. Mm-hmm. So that could help you in that way.
And if he puts them in certain parts of the house, he might find out where there's the most mosquito infestation.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes. But the thing is that mosquitoes goes to the old adage, fee-fi-fum, I smell the blood of an Englishman.
your leg first, the paper second. We have, thank you so much for your call. Dee wrote in regarding a crack pipe in the bathroom. You asked if there were little flies, and she says, I do have little flies, even in the winter.
Mm-hmm. That is very common. They're called, like I said, sewer flies or waste or drain flies, and that has to be investigated. We had a client many years ago where it took forever to find out where that crack pipe was, and it was underneath the concrete slab, and they were coming up through a crack in the slab, and that's where the flies were coming in from, and that's where the crack was. So it's really a big pain, but you have to do the investigation.
But that could be a serious problem.
It could be a serious problem. It could be a serious repair.
It's a serious health problem.
Yeah.
Arthur in Park Slope asks, I want to put real concrete stucco on the back of my wood frame house. Is there any reason not to do that?
Well, stucco normally goes on a wood frame building. That's where they use stucco. But the biggest problem is that it has to be prepared properly. You have to have good lathing material on the wood and enough space between the lathing material and the wood so that the scratch coat that goes on is strong enough in order to hold the finished plaster. Usually the stucco. A good job is a two-coat job, scratch coat and then the finish coat. A really good job is a scratch coat, an intermediate coat, and then the finish stucco coat. And this has to be done by somebody who knows how to do stucco. But there is the EIFS.
Yeah, but no, I wasn't going to get to that. The thing I was going to talk about is that the most important part of putting stucco in is how the windows are flashed. The biggest problem in lawsuits, especially around Florida where there is a lot of stucco, is water infiltration around the windows. And so how they put the windows in, how they put the expansion gap in, very important. If you're going to do stucco on wood, do some research and follow. There are definitely construction standards on how to put stucco on buildings, and those should be adhered to strictly. And whether this person is actually talking about real stucco, which is Portland cement, or they're talking about the new material, what my father referred to as EIFS, exterior insulating finishing system, that has a set of specifications also. Just one thing, the stucco is very durable. The EIFS, not so much.
Yes, and also for detail that Larry just spoke about, they can find that in Architectural Graphic Standards by Ramsey and Sleeper. It's found in every single library in this country, I believe.
I always thought that stucco was one of the Marx Brothers.
Yes, when you buy a house, you get stucco. Yeah, I got it.
Okay, we have somebody who thinks he knows the answer. Hi, you're on the air.
Yes. Hello?
What do you think it is? Well, I don't have a name here, so it just says, okay, I'll put you on hold. It just said
that person is
from North America. Hi. This is Susie?
Yeah.
Hi, Susie. What do you think it is?
Mensula?
Mensula.
What's Mensula?
Yeah.
It's a brace that, that's the Spanish word for it.
Oh.
Wow, that's nice.
That's nice, but that's not what...
I got to mark that down.
Mensula.
That's not what I'm looking for, but thank you.
Sounds an affectionate term in Yiddish, doesn't it?
Yes, that's what I was thinking.
That's my little Mensula? Is that your little member of Mensa?
This is Rich. Rich, what do you think it is?
All right, I'm taking the bonehead approach because you said it's like a capital, but it's Spanish, so I'm going to say Capitola.
No, that's cute.
Thanks for calling. You know, what happens if
we're going to give it to them tonight.
Okay.
Today.
Oh, today? I thought.
We have Rick from somewhere, New Jersey. Hi, Rick, you're on the air.
Rick?
Hey, gentlemen, thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, what's up?
So I live in Mendham, New Jersey. I have a 50-year-old home and a central air conditioner that's about 10 years old. Not a good week for the central air to break down.
Yeah.
What I've got going here is I've got the central air motor and filter are in my basement.
Mm-hmm.
All the duct work goes throughout my basement under our first floor.
Yes.
The unit itself, obviously, fan is outside of my home.
Right.
I've got water coming out from under the motor and the filter all over my basement floor. We made the call in about a week ago. Service guy comes out. My wife was home.
Uh-huh.
Evidently, he takes the rubber hose that the water flows through and he puts it in his mouth. And he blows through it,
right,
saying that it was a clog and that he got the clog out. Well, this morning I go down to iron my clothes, and there's water back in my basement.
Right. What has to happen, which is unfortunate, is that the condensate pan is filled with crud. And they actually have to take... Is this also forced air heating?
No, I have radiator heat.
Okay. So what they need to do is they need to take apart the fan coil unit and pull out the pan, clean the pan out, and then put it back together. Is it leaking out of one spot or everywhere?
One spot, really, in that one primary area just under the motor and filter where the duct then goes up.
Well, if you can, temporarily, you could put a pan to catch the water so it doesn't keep going all over the motor, which is never going to be good for the motor. And then, right. And then they're really going to have to take the system apart or take the fan coil unit apart to clean out that pan.
Yeah, in fact,
what's going to have to happen.
Yeah, there are services that come in when you have that problem that actually steam clean the condenser coil and the evaporator coil and the pan itself, because that gooky stuff is really a growth of bacteria that has captured some of the nutrients that are in the condensate, and it's growing, and that blows up. Just for him to blow out the drain line, probably cleaned out the drain line, but left some of the gook in the pan.
No,
which came for
he did nothing to clean the pan out. It's like just pushing the leaves aside at the gutter and thinking that fixes the drain until all the leaves go back again.
Right.
And that's what's happened here. So you definitely need to have someone come in and service and clean that pan.
Absolutely.
And good luck. And we have another person who thinks he knows the answer to the quiz. John from Manhattan, what do you think it is?
I think the answer is Zapatas.
Aside from being an amazing listener of WNYC, how come you know this?
Several years ago, my aunt, who had purchased some land in Santa Fe, was contemplating building on this land and had an architect draw up some plans, and she was going over them, and I remember her pointing to the structure and referring to it as a zapatas,
and it
stuck in my head because it, the word for shoe in Spanish.
Yeah, it confused me because you would think this would be on the bottom where a shoe would be, but instead it's on the top like a hat.
But it actually is the bottom of the beam.
Right.
So it's actually spreading out the load for the beam, not the column. So the column doesn't care. Can I speak here?
No.
Really? It's underneath the beam, so it's spreading out the load for the beam. The column doesn't care. Mm-hmm. So it's actually a beam element, not a column element.
Yeah, it prevents the column from pinpointing or crushing the wood fiber of the beam itself. It spreads the load out over a larger
You mean just like
space.
I said?
Right.
Okay.
Okay, we're going to put you on hold, and you're going to give an address to my producer.
Oh, I win something.
Yes.
You won
yes.
something.
Oh, okay. You win.
You
win.
Get a book called The Al Ubell Energy Saving Guide for Homeowners by George Merlis and myself, Al Ubell, and it'll be signed, sealed, and delivered to you by U.S. Postal Service.
Okay.
Maybe.
A listener, Jerry in Brooklyn, writes, every summer we get a huge number of black flies that congregate under our stoop. They go away in the winter, but they're back every summer. It's more humid in that space. Is that what attracts the flies? And how do I get rid of them? We've tried just about everything, fly tape strips, sprays, but they all seem to be just temporary fixes.
Well, I would try dehumidification.
Dehumidification.
If it really bothers you, because they're going there for the damp, cool air that's underneath there, and if you warm it up and dry it out, they're not going to be there anymore.
But it also could be that if there is any kind of growth, like mildew or mold or something like that, that could be a nutrient for the flies to go after.
But most if you dehumidify it, that's going to go away too.
Possibility, yes. But you got to
Not definitely?
You got to clean that area out of anything that may be a nutrient for the attractant of the flies. I mean, that's really what it's all about. Flies go for food and also moisture.
Tom in Astoria wonders how you know if you have lead paint on your walls.
They can actually do a test, which is most certified lead testers will do, which is called an XRF, and they will go around. But if your building was built before 1960 in the city or 1978 everywhere else, the assumption is there's lead paint on the walls. And so just assume there is.
Now, we can't get to any more of the calls because we've run out of time, but people can write to you?
They can write to me at Larry@ubell.com or Larry@accuratebuilding.com, or they can just follow me on Twitter. Do include your telephone number because sometimes the questions get a little bit complex and a conversation works better than 27 emails.
And if they can include a photograph, that also...
Photographs of the conditions are really appreciated.
Oh, that would really work well.
Yeah.
Now, the two of you will be back on July 13th. What's going to happen then?
We will show all of America how to go forth and fix, save energy, money, and
do it safely.